spoilery sensation that's sweeping the nation.
This is Spoiler Wars.
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Spoiler Wars for this review of episode 2 of House of the Dragon, now streaming on HBO Max. My name is Mason Fields, first of his name, master of spoilers and protector of the realm. I have read all the books by George R. R. Martin and, of course, watched all of Game of Thrones. With me tonight, Lady Lolly of the Pod.
Hello, hello.
Mother of spoilers. She has watched all of Thrones, but read none of the books. And once again, Sir Justin the Bearded, Knight of Stone Creek.
Knight of Stone Creek. All right, I'm feeling that.
You can work with that one?
I can work with it.
He has not read the books nor watched Thrones. He's our sweet summer child.
Mm. That's why he didn't even understand your mother of spoilers just now.
I did not. But guess what? I love good old Hot D.
He loves him some Hot D. That's what I've always said about Justin. He definitely loves him some Hot D. As they would say in Westeros, he is as green as summer grass when it comes to the world of George R.R. Martin. But this is week two. We're indoctrinating him here a little bit, I think.
Hey, I enjoyed week two a lot better than I enjoyed week one.
From the standpoint of actually a better episode, or just from the, I kind of feel like I kind of get what's going on here rather than what? Jaehaerys? What?
Well, what I appreciated about this episode, it was an informational episode. There wasn't a lot of shit going on. There was a lot of shit, but not a lot of action, mm-hmm. which I was okay with. It moved the plot line forward, and it got me comfortable with all the characters in the show. So I thought it was actually very beneficial for me.
That's an interesting perspective. I felt like it was such an exposition-heavy mm-hmm. episode that it was almost painful for the first half of it. But again, I'm coming into this as, like, I've been rereading Fire and Blood all week, so I have a very, like, all right, I know what's coming, get to it kind of thing. But both for new readers or new viewers, and, you know, just sort of getting back into the groove, I think, yeah, you're right. Maybe that was kind of helpful to reset the board a little more than, like, the deep lore nerds might need, but helpful for everybody else.
Because I think as a series, you have to be able to, you know, you have to have those episodes for the green grassers like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, the gringos.
The gringos. The Knights of Summer. It's all about the Knights of Summer.
Yeah.
Lolly, how'd you feel about it?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
Yeah. It didn't seem too heavy for me either. But also, I like watching it and watching Justin watch it. Through fresh eyes,
kind of see what's processing, what's not, you know, in terms of the confusion, some of that.
Yeah, and it was cool seeing like the callback to stuff that that we learned about the Targaryens when Daenerys was first kind of going through stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, like I said, I was shocked by last week's episode being as good as it was, not in terms of like, oh, this fabulous hour of TV, but like, they did it, you know, they understood the assignment and they actually pulled it off episode one. And so it was sort of, you know, as usual, manage expectations. Don't expect episode two to all of a sudden be season six of Game of Thrones level stuff. You know, trying to look back to like Game of Thrones episode two, it's probably a better second episode than Game of Thrones had. But it's got that like the weight on its shoulders of this whole thing. Actually, I feel like kind of got heavier by the success of it last week, by the 10 million viewers and the season two mm-hmm. renewal. It actually was like, you know, everybody was waving the Game of Thrones is back flag. And so any sort of grace that they had for like, we can kind of ease into this is gone. Now everybody's like, no, we expect you to be humming at Game of Thrones level right out of the gate.
But I like those expectations you set. They set for themselves. I mean, it makes you like in the competitive. All right, we need to make
this ballsy.
Episode. It is ballsy.
Yeah,
but that's the only way to make it good. You can't just be like Marvel and just take a few steps back throughout the first couple years after Endgame.
And I'd certainly rather have some kind of long, slow table setting episodes early in the season so that we can have some real badass action heavy episodes. You know, last couple episodes of the season.
Right, because I expect this next episode to be just like gory and sexual as fuck.
This was, we talked about it off mic. we've got a couple of new categories we wanted to introduce this week, and one of those being the most gratuitous sex or violence. And this is like the only episode in 8 seasons of Game of Thrones, and now 2 episodes of this, that it's like, not really it any sex any. Or violence. You know?
There was some gruesome
they,
stuff.
They threw a couple of violent things in there, but it really didn't have anything to do. Really. It sort of bookended the episode if we're talking about the crab feeder stuff.
Oh my gosh, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's not like violent. It's but like the crabs.
Game of Thrones level.
It's the not. It was not the spirit of the award, certainly, being like, oh, that moment where the guy's head got chopped off was like something I was expecting
or like
to
she
say.
Cut open a woman's stomach.
Yeah. So that it was relatively mild compared to that.
But we saw a guy get eaten by crabs. That makes me never want to go to the beach again.
I question the logistics of that. You know, it would take a hell of a lot of crabs to.
Did you see how many crabs?
Well, yeah, that's why I'm like, does he bring his own crabs or does he have this little place where he knows, like.
Oh my gosh, those are farm grown. Those are farm grown.
He has organic.
His own, he has his own crab farm. Okay. That's all he does. He breeds crabs just to kill people.
Kragus crab feeder. I just, you know, as far as efficiency goes, you know, you wage a naval battle. And then do you have to go and fish all the bodies out to then feed them to the crabs? It just seems like, you know, adding an extra step. But, you know, you got to dispose of those dead somehow. Yeah, like I said, I think just broad thoughts of it. I struggle with the first half of it. And this was a weird experience for me, unlike even Game of Thrones, where even like first season Game of Thrones, I knew where they were going to end the first season. I'd already read that book. Mm-hmm. But I felt like the sort of internal clock in my head was a lot more impatient with this than it was with Game of Thrones. Almost like, I wonder if it's because it's written as a history, so there's less in the books to then be adapted differently and then therefore be kind of interesting to me, where it's like, having read it as a history book, it's like I've got the bullet points of the episode in a way that's like, I mean, the whole episode is kind of building to King Viserys declaring he's going to marry Alison Hightower.
Yeah, but I got that from the first, in the beginning.
Well, the first episode, much less a little bit in this one.
Oh,
so
everything, they had all too many little scenes together. So it's like, oh, and then she brings them that deal that's fixed.
Yeah, the little broken dragon. Yeah. I just felt like it was... all right, I know where we're going with this beat, so let's go on and get there. Which, like I said, it's just a weird sensation, not something I felt as often with Game of Thrones. I think maybe we'll get away from that as we go on. I think it's because we're still in this sort of opening phase, and we know we've got older actresses coming, so we know there's a time jump coming.
So you're kind of just like, when's it going to happen? Yeah, when's it going
to
happen?
Because I know we're getting to a time jump, it kind of makes all this stuff before the time jump feel a little less important. So it's like, let's get to the main story already. Mm-hmm. I need to just simmer down on that. I thought from originally early in the season, you know, we were going to get time jump, hopping back and forth, flashbacks. Seems like we're going linear.
Yeah.
And we're just going to get a big jump. I think we know we've got the young actresses for at least one more episode. So then I think 4 or 5 is kind of where we'll
I hope at least one or two, because I actually like the...
They're growing on me, yeah.
I like the Targaryen, what's her name? Princess Rhaenys.
Played by Millie Alcott.
No, are you talking about Rhaenyra?
Rhaenyra, oh, the blonde.
Did I fuck that up? I fuck that up? God.
The young one?
Weren't you Didn't you just call yourself the master?
Yeah, I did.
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, the heir.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Rhaenyra.
Yeah. I like her. I think she's... I think she's an actress.
She does a good job.
Oh, my God.
The emotion at the... What would you call it? The temple or whatever when you're praying?
Set. Yeah.
Yeah. Her emotion that she displayed was, that was a good performance.
I was really blown away. Yeah, she's an Australian actress, Millie Alcock. She's 22 years old, but she's playing...
Oh, 22.
We are told 15 in this episode. We're also told we're 6 months after last episode. Mm-hmm. The age of Alicent Hightower has not been confirmed, but they're supposed to be, I think, the same age in this.
Yeah.
Which is a book change, actually. In the book, Rhaenyra is like 10 or 15 years older than Alicent. So she's got this like stepmom coming in that's like half her age.
Oh, interesting.
But they didn't have the we were best friends as kids dynamic, right. which I think could be more interesting in the show. So yeah. I don't mind.
It's 100% yeah. more interesting. It's like Real Housewives.
Yeah, which is just right up your alley.
Yeah.
Full spoilers for Game of Thrones as well as House of the Dragon, by the way, if you hadn't already figured that out here at Spoiler Wars. Did notice right away the actress Emily Carey, 19-year-old British actress playing young Alicent Hightower. It's kind of funny. She's got a series of roles now that are young so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So she was young Diana in Wonder Woman. She played young Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman.
Oh.
And she was also young Lara Croft in the recent Tomb Raider remake. So she's having some fun with it. Yeah, maybe someday I'll get to play a character that doesn't say young in front of it. And there'll be a bunch of young versions of me that get cast to fill the role. But right away in the episode, you see a little noticeable difference. She's wearing more makeup, more jewelry. Wearing a little more grown-up dresses and stuff, and you know, only 6 months has passed, but we definitely see the sort of things progressing with her sort of weird little friendship with her best friend's dad.
Yeah, her dad is super pimping her out to the king,
which is a little. I guess this is actually one of my kind of problems with the episode, is that I don't feel like we ever get Allison's point of view on how she feels about any of this, other than the anxiety of her nails, which she does at everything. So it's hard to tell, like, what's especially disturbing to her, like how she feels.
Her reaction in the moment whenever her dad tells her to do it.
Yeah.
Like whenever her dad tells her to go. And this episode, he asked if she was going to go visit him in the evening.
Yeah, will you visit the king tonight?
And she was just like, but I think the actress does a good job of getting across how uncomfortable her character is with that.
Yeah, I guess it's the, I don't know what, I need a little more in terms of her relationship with Rhaenyra struggling with that. We get a little bit of it in the Sept where like there's an opportunity for her to be forthcoming. But she doesn't really say anything. She's just talking vaguely about, oh, surely your dad has to remarry. But I don't really get, is she struggling internally with that? Or is she a master manipulator like her dad is? You know, what's the character free of the Otto Hightower influence that he's putting on her? You know,
I came across as she's struggling with it.
Yeah.
Mostly because I think they established that they're BFFs, right? Mm-hmm. And she's constantly, I take the fingernail deal as part of her being, she's holding
something from
her best friend.
Okay.
And I think that goes in with it, but maybe I also,
she's enjoying,
but I think she's
not enjoying, maybe she's delightfully surprised by the relationship that is building with him, that it's not as gross and creepy as.
I think that's what I was going to say. I think it went in there as kind of a job, but like, I think feelings are being caught.
Maybe they're helping each other get through a difficult time.
Yeah. There just seemed to be a little of that. And I think she's cognizant of having a duty in it, you know, it being her having a duty in it. That sounded like she took a dump, of it being her duty. And that, you know, in episode one, she pushed back against Rhaenyra a little bit when she's like, oh, aren't you worried about your position? And so, like, she's cognizant of the Game of Thrones, I think even more than Rhaenyra is at this point. But I don't know. It's just weird. I don't feel like she's a point of view character in the same way the others are, which is a weird thing to say in a show versus a book where, you know, it's literally the character's point of view. I just don't feel the interiority that we do with Rhaenyra, with Viserys, even with Daemon, really. Maybe that's to come. We'll see. What else? I thought Emily Carey did a good job in that performance. I don't blame her for holding that back. I just wanted to shout out. She did a great interview with the like official HBO House of the Dragon podcast with Jason Concepcion. Weird that it like drops on HBO proper right next to the episode. Podcasts are taking over the world, people. But it's a really interesting interview about her process, and she talks about how she like she wasn't given a whole lot to work with in terms of like, this is how your character feels about this. She actually said several times she approached the director, Miguel Sapochnik, and kind of like, I'm not really sure what my character's supposed to be feeling. And he was like, play that. In other words, play the
uncertainty.
Yeah. Oh, that comes across.
Which does, yeah. But yeah, I'm definitely interested to see more to come from that character.
It makes sense because she's, if you think about it, she's fucking 15 years old. So there's got to be a whole hell of a lot of uncertainty going on there.
Absolutely. Yeah, as good of a job as these young actresses are doing, I'm a big fan of Olivia Cooke, who plays the older Alicent. Eager to see her here in a couple of weeks. So I think maybe that's part of my, like, let's just get there, you know? All right, let's move on to the Bachelor portion of the episode and find out who gets a rose from King Viserys.
Oh, no, never mind. Sorry.
That is as close to any kind of reference to The Bachelor I can make because I've never watched it, but there are roses involved, right? There's a handout of roses involved. Yeah. So which teenager will Lord King Viserys give his rose to?
Ew.
There's only one teenager. What do you call a 12-year-old?
A preteen?
A tween.
Yes. What'd y'all think about all that?
Oh, my gosh. They show her, and I was like... I was like, but you have to think at the time that's very common.
Yeah, we had to talk ourselves into not being so grossed out by it because she's so young. But then it's like, okay, remember, like back then, life expectancy wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But then also, there are some grandmasters that are really fucking old, and they're marrying really, really little girls.
Yeah, and I think I actually looked into it. The HBO has not even released the age of the actress that plays that.
Oh, thank God.
Because I think the actress might be like 9. You know, they went for the like, we want this girl to look ridiculous. Yeah,
I'm glad that the king was like, hey, your dad tell you to say all this shit. Yeah. You know, it's
and
like
what
you
did
went
your
there.
Mom say? And just those the words, like she said, I wouldn't have to bed you. Coming out of such a young girl, even if
the concept that she even knows what that bedding means at that age, you know,
just the idea of having an actress that young say those lines is uncomfortable to me.
Little weird. I do like that they played it in a. All right, even for Westeros, this is too much. King Viserys, he's not taking it very seriously. And like I said, they almost do it comically, where it's like this little bitty girl and King Viserys kind of like, what are the kids doing these days?
But at the same time, you got to be at least 15.
Well, that's what's funny is they make the 12-year-old seem like that's just too far.
And the 15.
But 15, I mean, that's totally fine.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Both actresses look more than 3 years apart.
Yes. You know? Yeah, which they are. Yeah, closer to a decade there, certainly. The actress that plays Alicent is 19. So I still think they got like an 8 or 9 year old to play Laena Velaryon.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Hold on. The lineage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dreadlocks.
That's
his daughter.
That's his daughter.
His daughter.
It'd be like you marrying.
I think you just realized it was going to verge on some races.
Yeah. No. I was talking about the cousin thing, and then I didn't want to say it because it's gross.
Oh, okay. Dangerous. We're about to get to talking about a bunch of brother sister marriages down the road.
The question is the guy with the dreads, what's his name?
Corlys Velaryon, the sea snake.
Yep. Is he married to the queen who must not be named?
The queen who never was.
The queen who never was.
Close. Okay. You can go with that. You can stick with that if you want.
Who is the king's cousin?
Yes.
Lord Corlys Velaryon and Rhaenys Targaryen.
The queen who must not be named. You've got Harry Potter on your brain.
But still, he knew it was like, she has a title. Yeah. It's kind of one of those, like, bad, you know? I did think it was, like, both comical and fairly disturbing, the way Viserys kind of talks to each of his counselors about, Corlys Velaryon wants me to marry his daughter. What do I do? He has the scene in the small council chamber with Lord Lyanna Strong. Who is, you know, even Viserys is like, she's 12. And he's like, she'll mature.
I know.
Which, you know, some of the, it's kind of like, if the urgency is heirs, maybe we don't want to go so young that we've got to wait 4 years to even be biologically possible. Yeah. So that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense.
But I just love the way they situate us in the world by going, see, most people don't think there's anything wrong with this. Mm-hmm. Even the quote unquote smartest minds in the realm are like, yeah, I'm 12-year-old. I mean, well, good do. Match. Good match.
And then I did enjoy the scene between Rhaenyra and the queen who never was. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, dude, he's going to get a wife and then you're fucking toast.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Because
they're gonna
all of those old men will never be okay with a woman on the throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the content, the actual meat of that scene was very important.
Yes.
Table setting for what's coming with Rhaenyra. Actually kind of disappointed they're not using more Rhaenys, the queen that never was, so mm-hmm. far. She's really, had like two little lines in the pilot. And then even in the scene in this episode where they go to talk to the king on the little veranda, whatever it was, she has like two lines there. Like they give all this exposition to Corlys and then just have Eve Best, great actor, just kind of standing there looking at him, you know, which I think is underused, but more to come there. Very like arch Cersei vibes, you know, she's sort of standing in the archways, you know, mm-hmm. peeping on people, little finger esque as well. I don't know. Something's weird about the queen who never was of it all for me. Maybe we'll get there.
I think that they're setting her up for some type of bigger role.
Yeah, I think there's much more to come from her.
And because I do think that Rhaenyra, as she gets older, she's gonna. That's who I thought the uncle mm-hmm. was gonna be like, kind of like the mentor, and now I'm like, oh no, no, it's the queen who must not be named.
In this moment, Rhaenyra's reaction to what she's saying is very much shows her age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the fact that she hasn't matured.
Yeah, it's like, you're just trying to make me mad. No, yeah, I'm.
You know nothing mm-hmm. because you're a bitter old woman.
I'm actually trying to tell you something very important,
and I think she's gonna come back later. And listen more.
Well, the king even said, "You're my heir, regardless of what happens."
Yeah, which he did.
He did reiterate that.
Yeah, but that doesn't really hold much.
Well, and I think that's what, you know, at least what Rhaenys is saying here is the lords of the realm, what regardless of what your father wants, the lords of the realm will never let you be queen.
Yeah.
But she also adds your father's not stupid. He knows what he's doing. Which I have some serious questions about that. but, you know, she's at least planting the idea that she's just sort of a pawn in her father's game, mm-hmm. which I don't think she is to that extent, where Viserys is just not a chess master like that.
No, I think it's...
But she's not wrong about the end result.
It's more along the lines of like, hey, I know that he's given you this, and he might very much believe it himself, but... Be cautious, be aware, because the chances that you actually are and stay his heir when he starts having sons mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. there's a chance his mind changes, but also all of those old men are never going to let you become queen.
Those old whites?
Yeah.
Definitely a majority old whites there, for sure. One of the not old whites, Lord Corlys, I just wanted to shout out Stephen Toussaint as Corlys Velaryon. He is given... so much clunky exposition a little bit last week, but especially this week, so much mm-hmm. clunky exposition to kind of keep setting up this problem in the Stepstones and Prince Daemon and this sort of marriage stuff. He did it with aplomb. I mean, he is I don't recognize the actor. He's been working for a long time. But he just, I don't know if it's the outfit or the hair or what, but it's just like every time he's on screen, I'm like, give me more of this guy.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, he's badass.
I think he's got the best fits in the show so far. He's just always rocking. And there's something about that hair is just working for him, too. I mean, usually white dreadlock wigs, not working for everybody, but it's working for him, I think.
I think I want to – that's going to be my new Halloween costume. White dreads.
Some white dreads?
No.
It's a little occult cultural appropriation.
You cannot do that.
But you can appropriate Westerosi culture. That's fine.
Hold on. It's cultural appropriation?
Dreadlocks?
Yeah.
Yes.
But not in a fantasy context. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Hold on. I could be a hippie with dreads.
Okay.
I don't understand how it could be cultural appropriation.
The you are appropriating old Valyrian culture, sir.
Oh, I can't do anything.
You're canceled for appropriating old Valyrian culture. All right, let's talk about Dragonstone. This is where the episode really kicked off for me. Lolly, I know you had to feel it too. As soon as they come kind of sweeping in over that beach and you're just like, oh fuck. Yep. Here we go. Yeah. We're back. As much as it was nice just seeing another familiar location, it was very nice to get the fuck out of the Red Keep, for a few minutes. I feel like that's the show's stifling itself a little bit so far.
Right. We're so used to being in multiple locations in one episode.
Yeah. But
that's what's different about this one is we don't have multiple things going on at one time like we did in Game of Thrones, you know?
And that's something I feel like the show actually is missing to this point, where we've spent so much time with the royals and the nobles. But that was the real strength of Game of Thrones, was you do a scene in the Red Keep with the queen, and then you'd go to the Hound or Sir Bronn of the Blackwater or, you know, these like street level characters.
Or the Wall.
Or the Wall, yeah.
Oh, they finally mentioned the Wall.
They did mention the Wall. We know it's up there and just going to be hanging out up there for a couple of hundred years.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the show is missing, I don't want to say like your average guy characters, because I don't know that any of that, but I don't know, just some humor or something. Like Tyrion is missing from the show so far.
Well, yeah.
Totally.
The wit and witticism of it all. Yeah, Justin doesn't know who we're talking about, but there are a couple of characters from the history that I think could show up, but again, because it's not a narrative, history doesn't really record the stories of the small folk or the household knights. So I don't know how they're going to pull that off. I hope they don't shy away from like inventing some of those characters. Especially, I don't know if it makes it easier or harder with George R. Martin's involvement, but like flesh out the world a little more. So it's not just these, you know, demigod kind of Targaryens that we're spending all our time with. But that all being said, I feel like the most sort of Thrones flavor I got was in that Dragonstone scene when they got a little cheeky with each other. Particularly when when Daemon's like, oh, what's your name again? Crispin, wasn't it? And he's like, oh, no, my prince, it's Criston Cole. Daemon's like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember it. Perhaps you remember when I knocked my prince off his horse.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of that shit talking, I kind of energy I miss.
Yeah, I need it. That I'm glad he didn't roll over
when
he
did that.
He put him right in its place. And finally we saw a couple dragons.
Let's talk about the dragons. First we get Caraxes, the Blood Worm, which is just, I think it's just cool design. He's very more snaky than we've seen from any of the dragons. He kind of comes up over that rock. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks weird when he's flying, but when he's just crawling around, it's very legit.
Lizard-like.
Yeah. I have some questions for Sir Otto Hightower taking like 20 guys up there when he knows Daemon has a dragon.
What do you think would happen?
I don't know.
That just looks dumb.
Well, and they have the scene where he's like getting ready for it, and it's almost like this like suicide mission kind of vibe to it. And it's like, why are you, what are you doing here, Otto? And they all scoff at Rhaenyra for being like, you have dragon riders, just send us. And they're all like,
I know, right?
Surely this
we're
better
all
things.
Sit here while
for this
while we burn.
I'm amused by it in this episode that the small council is basically full of just doddering old fools, and they're all just like, silly girl. And it's like, y'all are fucking morons. Like Lord Beesbury, literally the only lines we've had from him are, damn me, in both episodes now is damn me. Which I sort of like that they're like scandalized by it all, you know? But yeah. And then, the bridge in Dragonstone, it was a beautiful scene. You can tell they definitely didn't go back to that bridge in Spain or wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And they built a little section of it in front of the green screens and stuff. Overall, I thought it looked good, except for when Rhaenyra comes in. The compositing I thought was really bad. Like even worse than Thrones, like, you know, Emilia Clarke in front of a green screen on a dragon back. I thought this looked actually way worse. Just like,
I thought it looked like a 1970s when you're just, when there was a car scene and you know they weren't actually driving the car.
Where it's like the screen is rolling behind you. It's funny you should say it. They actually shot this in the volume, which I think we've talked about before. You know, it's the little LED like screen room behind them. So in that sense, that's exactly what they, how they shot it. I just, it's just not cutting together well for some reason. I don't, it's supposed to be better with light, but it's just, it didn't look great to me. But it looked fucking awesome when Rhaenyra shows up on her dragon and you're like, where is she? You're kind of looking up at the sun thinking she's going to come out of that, you know, a la Dany and Game of Thrones. But no, she kind of like breaks through the clouds. They sort of part like water. I just thought that was an incredibly cool visual.
Yep. She pretty much just laid it on the table. Walked over there. I have an issue with one thing, and Laura and I were, or Lolly and I were debating about this last night. That dragon egg is way too small.
Yeah, he's not okay with the growth in the lifespan of a dragon.
No, that does not make any sense. You have to understand,
they're like tiny when they're born.
Ostrich eggs are bigger. And they ostriches don't grow
that
to a dragon
size. That egg is bigger than an ostrich egg.
No.
Hey, yes. Velociraptors, bro. They hatch in a little egg and then get you. T-Rex.
Yeah, those are real animals.
T-Rex does not come in an egg the size of a house.
Yeah.
It grows.
It at least has to be in the size of a small table. It has to be the size of a small table. See, I just, it doesn't make sense to me.
They're smaller
than a calf.
It's not supposed to make sense. It's a fantasy show about dragons.
Yeah. No.
Justin's like, look, the mass value does not carry from the size.
Look, I just think because when if a dragon's gonna hatch from egg, I'm thinking like a giraffe. You know, a giraffe size.
Oh no, man, they're like little chickens when they hatch.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
They're kind of cute
they're
when they
so
hatch.
Cute.
You know what would help? Watch fucking Game of Thrones.
Let me put that out
there. But it still doesn't anatomically make sense.
Did the actual importance of the dragon egg, were you with why that was a thing?
Yeah, you do it. They're supposed to, you know, be okay with the dragon. So when they have, then they have like a dragon.
They bond in the cradle, that whatever. Kind of thing.
It's kind of like a kangaroo in a kangaroo pouch.
Sure.
They bond with the mother.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Come on, people.
So this whole thing is really just Daemon trolling his brother and Otto.
You know what I couldn't get out of my head though? Every time I see Daemon, his hair, it just looks like Orlando Bloom.
Legolas, a lot of people have been calling it the Legolas wig. You can tell from the previews that we've got haircuts coming for a lot of the characters soon.
That's good.
I think Daemon needs one here pretty quick. Daemon's in Viserys. The two main, like, white-haired wigs don't look great in this. There's a couple times with Viserys where, like, it looks like you can see the stitching at the top of the wig.
It really just doesn't look real.
No.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, I used to have a wig, and it looked real.
Well, and you think with these, you know, I mean, literally, these wigs cost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And
a little more work. I think it's just such an unnatural color that if you put that color on, like, a person under 50, it's like just some sort of cognitive dissonance that it's never going to look right. Rhaenyra gets the big win at Dragonstone. I was really impressed with her in that scene.
That was the badass scene. Yeah. This was the
I thought everybody was really good in it. I thought Daemon's sort of unhinged performance was really good. I thought Otto Hightower, the actor, did a great job. Rhys Ifans was great in that scene too. He's like, he's playing it very restrained. He's also doing something with his voice that's a little more gruffer and proper kind of than his natural speaking voice. But I thought it was a good scene for Otto too, because he's the one that's like, sheathe your fucking steel to his own guys. Mm-hmm. Like he's like, okay, this may end in my death, but we're not going to be the ones that pop off and start some kind of international incident. Like it's going to be Prince Daemon that goes too far, but there's also this sort of like, all right, here we go, guys. Let's just hope he doesn't roast us here. You know? And you know, I do love the, and we got some of that in Game of Thrones, the idea that a lot of these men, these warriors, you know, they've got their badass swords and armor and they'll, you know, ride into battle, but they're fucking scared of dragons.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're still like, all right, I mean, I'm confident in my sword play, but if that dragon's going to pop off, he's going to pop off, and they've just got to learn to live with that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's intense.
I would be scared of a dragon too.
Well, it should be
understandably
a healthy fear of the dragon. Yeah. It's just, I think it's remarkable how they make the characters sort of live, and that's a normal thing. You know what I mean? I mean, even like go to the citizens of King's Landing. I mean, we see what happens to him in a couple hundred years. It doesn't work out well with dragons being involved. You know, we see him fly over in the episode one. They're all kind of like, eh, whatever, just a dragon. Like, it's so normal at this point. I mean, back to the T-Rex analogy, it'd be like, yep, oh, there's fucking T-Rex out the window. It's cool. It happens.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, somebody get it. You know, doesn't work out. What else on Dragonstone? Anything there?
Damon lied to get them there.
That's what I'm saying. He's just trolling his brother. It's just all bullshit.
Yeah.
But
she had no, like, she had no clue he was going to do that. That he said she was pregnant.
Yeah,
and
she was pissed because
she was like, what the fuck?
She is now the number one candidate for assassination in the Seven Kingdoms after.
Well, what also doesn't make sense is, I don't even think trolling is the correct word.
It's like shit posting.
Because he if you're going to troll somebody, you got to let it go a little farther.
Well, you know? what it really was a tantrum for attention.
Yeah, that's all it was, a temper tantrum.
It was, I took my brother's castle over here, mm-hmm. hoping he would come and, you know, pay attention to me. He's not, so I guess I'll go back and steal a dragon head, hoping he'll pay attention. And he took the one dragon's egg that was supposed to be given, the one that would most, upset the king with that. So, yeah, he's just, but, like, I think it's comical that it does boil down to something that simple of like, he kind of just wants his brother's attention. Mm-hmm. It's not a strategic move of like, well, if I do this, it'll draw out his forces and then we can attack. No, it's just pay attention to me. It's Claire wrecking my room. You know,
yeah.
It's basically what it boils down to.
Look at me.
So on Dragonstone, we go into the very familiar, formerly the Room of the Painted Table. I don't know where the big painted table's gone. Maybe they're saving that for a reveal later in the season. But the very familiar chambers there on Dragonstone, where Massaria, Daemon's whore, is... you just like that word, don't you?
No, I just think it gets tossed around very...
Very casually. Very casually. Show. Yeah. I will say, props to Rhys Ivins for his reading of the word whore twice in this episode. He puts some stank on it.
He does.
Yeah, Daemon's whore.
Whore.
But.
Whore.
So, okay. So yeah, this is starting to be a bit of a online kerfuffle. Accent gate. Maybe the worst on-screen fake accent I've ever heard in my life.
Massaria.
I don't know what the fuck she's doing with the accent. Now, it's important to note, she's a British actress. So this is a creative choice, not anybody's natural accent. Doesn't seem like it jumped out to y'all quite as bad as it did to me, but people are like, how could you air this? It was so bad.
I mean, it was weird sounding, but where is she supposed to be from?
Yeah, you just kind of wrote it off.
So, fantasy.
Vaguely foreign accent.
I just think they're in their own game.
Yeah,
because it's like some made up country. Oh,
sure.
It works.
But I think the critique of it is like, you did some phony accents in Game of Thrones, but those all worked and you could, most importantly, still understand what was being said.
That's,
half of her little speech.
You have to listen a little harder.
Yeah. You are a demon Targaryen. You cannot fail to get them. Like, huh? Come again? And I don't usually do first viewing subtitles. You know, I'm actually sort of like, look, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into putting exactly what's on screen. So for you to put up the little closed captioning for it's kind of... But for that one, like, you almost have to, just to get all that.
Sounds like Farmer Fran.
I don't know what that is.
Oh,
From Waterboy?
Yeah.
No, it's been too long. Been too long.
Nice.
That's why y'all are married.
I was actually really surprised you got that. I thought you would get Waterboy.
I haven't seen Waterboy in 20 years. I mean, me neither. Years.
Me neither, but you never remember. You never forget Farmer Fran. He's got his nipples pierced. Come on over there.
Okay. I know you're talking. Yeah. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I don't know what they're. I feel like they're kind of hanging this actress out to dry a little bit.
Oh, she's going to die soon.
Well, maybe. Actually, if I mean, not to spoil anything, I literally legitimately can't remember at one point in the books, but I think she's around for a little while. It's just a question of like, where does season one end? We did get greenlighted for a season two, by the way, so we know we're getting at least 20 episodes of this show.
Nice.
Yes.
But anyway, I was pretty stunned at that accent. I was just like, that is bad. But didn't bother y'all, so we won't harp on it. All right. Do y'all have any questions, lore, history, any questions for the Grand Maester to answer? Justin, is all the rules of succession and family histories and stuff here. It's making as much sense as you need it to so far.
Oh yeah, I can maneuver my way around the Targaryens.
Okay,
I'm excited that like a wedding is coming,
mm-hmm.
only because Game of Thrones just fuck it. The weddings
they do some
are
good weddings
insane.
Or some really bad weddings actually.
Do you think the weddings are better or worse than our wedding?
Well, nobody
worse. No one died at our wedding.
Well, almost, no. But yeah, no. We do have what? Have y'all been watching the next week on? You have to like, switch over to it for HBO Max.
Yes,
the next week on
the preview for the next episode.
I didn't know.
Yes,
you watched it. I did not.
Oh, were you not there in the room with me?
No, I walked out.
Yeah, you kind of watched it because we were like, oh, next week we're gonna get like a battle.
Well, no, I just assumed that there was going to be a battle. We did watch it. It was all about the crabs, right?
Yeah, I think it showed a lot of stuff.
A lot of crabs.
It's going to be from a battle related to the crab feeder and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But we do see still young Alicent, the actress playing young Alicent. So I don't know if we'll get one more whole episode before the time jump, possibly two.
I think it's going to be half and half. So you're going to get the first five and then the second five.
I didn't like that they showed that that they have a son.
Yeah, it was a little spoilery. I guess it's one of those, like, if it happens in the first 5 minutes of the next episode, then what, you know.
Who has a son?
Alicent Hightower and King Viserys.
Oh, they have a son?
There's
heir.
A little baby, and they're talking about Aegon will sit the Iron Throne.
I guess I didn't watch it that closely.
I can't with you.
I think the time jump has to come soon because, as much as anything, not only do we have Alicent and Rhaenyra that have kids that are involved in this story, they've got grandkids that are involved in this story. So
we do kind of have to hurry.
Yeah, we need to move things along with some of that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. There's nothing on IMDb. You can't tell with like the episode counts where they're going to do it with breaking things up. But yeah, I kind of feel like, even though I know there are a couple of fun things that happen before we get to that age, I think we need to not fuck around too much. I think, you know, just in general in the fandom, the casting of it all, like I said early on, we know it's coming, so how seriously am I supposed to take what happens now if it's all just going to kind of feel like prequel to the main event that comes later? But we'll see. All right. Any theories for next week that you want to discuss?
I will say that Rhaenyra and, is it Alison?
Mm-hmm.
Alicent. I like that name.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It grows on you. Alicent. Will not be friends.
By the end of the episode.
I think it's going to, I don't know if they'll ever resolve.
They're not going to make up.
They're not going to make up by the end of the episode. I think they're going to be fighting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long that will last.
I'm interested to see, as much as anything, yes, we keep talking about the big time jump that's coming, but we just got a 6 month time jump in between one and two.
Well, there has to be at least 9 months of a time jump if we get a baby.
Well, certainly. I think that math still checks out
in
Westeros. But that sort of makes me nervous as well, where it's like if every episode is sort of isolated in time so much from what the episode before and after, it sort of leaves, I don't know. I mean, I'm not prejudging it. I haven't seen the next episode, obviously, but I want to know, I want to pick up with Rhaenyra right where we left off this episode and see how she reacts
I think they have to do an initial reaction and then a time jump,
which means they have to get more creative with the time jumping,
which is going to be like I don't know which one's which. That wouldn't be a cold. That would be a cold open
if it happened before the intro sequence,
right? So it's like, oh, initial reaction, open, and then 6 months later,
Could do that. Game of Thrones. Did not often do cold opens, but they did do some.
I think that would work
over their run. And once again, different. This is a different animal, so I think it would be more appropriate in this show, especially as we're jumping around with time.
So are we going to draft about it
next week? No, definitely not. We got to get on the other side of the time jump before I can even start with that. It was funny though. So I looked at the book to see like how much book did we cover in this episode. Literally a 4-sentence paragraph is what we covered in this episode.
That makes sense. I could see that.
I mean, it's literally like Daemon took a dragon egg and then gave it back. And then the queen decided to marry Alison Hightower. It's like, okay, all right. Well, yeah, fill that out. I'm just interested to see how different this is, from Game of Thrones in that way. Just cause it's not something they did much. All right. Did we skip completely over our discussion of the intro title sequence? I think we did.
Yes.
Lolly, how did you feel about that? I know Justin, you've got no familiarity with Game of Thrones. You said the music didn't work for you. It will. Just give it time.
Yeah.
It'll be one of your favorite things in the world.
Oh, it's amazing. It felt so good.
I will say when the music kicked on, I was like, God damn, that feels good in like a irrational way.
And I was like singing, bouncing along to it.
I was like, are you drunk?
It's just such a hype. Like, I don't know. Do the 49ers have like a theme music or something that they play?
No, it's called Harry Potter. That's how I feel when Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, but is
Harry
there
Potter
a
has the music?
Oh, the Potter theme.
Yeah, the Potter theme.
Okay,
that
gotcha.
Gets me going. And let's be real, the Marvel deal will get you. Like you hear the.
That's the closest. Yeah, definitely. I kind of hate it though.
The song?
No, well, obviously I love the music. I feel
you
like
it's kind of
lazy to pair the music that we know with the visuals that we got. I'm mostly disappointed by the visuals of it.
Right. I like the old intros better where it's
the map.
They're basically, they're creating a 3D version of the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
in front of your
even eyes. I could draw the map for you and it's still every week. I found it very helpful to get that orientation. And now we're dealing with locations, the stepstones. I mean, you probably have no idea where the fucking stepstones are, do you?
No.
But they're like making it the central geographic important piece without kind of explaining where it is. It's basically like they're used to be a land bridge over to Essos, but it got flooded over the years. And so it's this little chain of islands that runs over there. But I don't know. It was just so much fun every week to see how the map would change.
And what are we going to get?
Where are we going to go? All of that. And
now it's just blood running through.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, you know, the Lego model that King Viserys is making in his bedroom. It's basically that with
blood
flowing through it. And it's like, I don't know. It's kind of just a generic CG fly through, you know, kind of thing.
I didn't know the map intro was such a big deal in the old Game of Thrones.
Oh, I thought it was
awesome.
So important and just creative. I know it was expensive.
You think we're going to get the same intro next week, though?
I do. I have a feeling. Now, it's entirely possible they could change it up. Like I said, they tweaked it a little bit here and there with Game of Thrones, but that's what's disappointing about it is there's no opportunity for changing it. It's like, oh, this week the blood went left instead of right. What's that going to mean to anybody, you know? And I guess what there's like each of the little symbols is a different Targaryen and the number of bloodlines that come out of it is their descendants. So it's like a working family tree, but that's not nowhere near as helpful as the map of it all, I think.
Yeah, I didn't even see that.
And so I think if you're not going to do the map and you're just going to like whip up a little CG intro, it just feels kind of lazy to put the old music on it, where it's like, I get it from a branding standpoint. But from that standpoint, like match the map part of the brand.
The music is so great.
Yeah.
Make something that's equally.
I mean, it was like a, as soon as it starts and it gives you the skip intro option, you're just like, no, I'm not skipping that.
I can't.
But after the initial and whatnot had gone, I was just like, okay. Yeah, all right, I could skip this now, which was not a Game of Thrones thing. You don't skip the Game of Thrones intro. No. This was very skippable. Next week when it comes on, probably the same thing. I'll give it about 30 seconds just for the, all right, here we go. Okay, skip. I don't need to see all the fucking blood. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
All right, that's the intro sequence. We've got a couple of awards categories we want to introduce this week, though, like I said, not the best week to introduce some of these.
I couldn't off of this week's episode.
I thought it'd be a lot easier. We'll start off with best or worst, most gratuitous moment of sex or violence. And of course, we do that in the Thrones universe episode with the least amount of sex or violence ever.
Mm-hmm. There was no sex.
There was no sex.
It said brief nudity, and there was none.
Background nipple, maybe, but
I didn't even see that.
Justin, we didn't even get titties this episode.
That's what I said. We ended, and I was like, no titties.
No nut sacks, nothing, you know?
Yeah, that if we had done it last episode, I would have said that whole scene in the street.
Oh, my balls hurt still from that.
I think on this one you have to get it to the crab feeding, right?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's like has no legs and he's just like.
I don't think that was gratuitous. I think we needed to get an idea because if they hadn't shown how gross that area was, then you would have been like, oh, big deal, it's crabs.
Yeah, I think the half a body with crabs inside the gut may be a little.
So when the crabs were just gnawing on the. The
you have
flesh.
To get an idea of how dangerous, how big
wrong.
Of a deal this place is.
Yeah, you're
and
not.
They're
you're
being
not
bit nailed to stakes,
but you're
and having crabs feed on them.
But, yes, that's gross,
but not gratuitously.
But by that argument, nothing is gratuitous in Westeros.
Yeah,
you know.
So what's the definition of gratuitous?
Unnecessary.
You know it when you see it.
Okay,
it's like pornography. You know it when you see it. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
It doesn't add. To anything, and this I feel like added to because the only thing we had heard before was just them talking about it.
I don't know that I would say then because I think the gratuitousness of it does sometimes add, and I could even say it added here. It's not necessarily, like I said, best or worst. Mm-hmm. It doesn't put the value on the gratuitousness of it.
So my definition of gratuitous in means of a show. Is am I going ugh and closing my eyes, or am I feeling like I felt crabs gnawing on my flesh and it was gross? I think that
you felt crabs.
Yeah, I felt crabs. All right? I felt crabs, and that is gratuitous to me.
Y'all getting way too caught up in the definition of gratuitous.
Yeah.
This is really just...
What are you new? Of course this would be us.
This is really just an opportunity to call out the most sexy or violent thing in the episode. But just a weird episode
to introduce
that.
It wasn't a very sexy or violent episode.
No. You know, the opposite will often be true. Like, we got an orgy last week, so but what part of that do you call gratuitous? Probably that... Well, we discussed it already. All right, the LFG moment of the week. Let's fucking go moment of the week. For me, there's only one scene that this boiled down to, but really it's the flying in over Dragonstone.
Right.
And as soon as we see it, it's let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
I actually think it's not even when she flies in. It's when she walks down and talks to him.
Oh, when she dismounts
and she's talking to him.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Hey, you need to leave." And she just pretty much says, "Fuck you."
She's like, "Careful, my Syrax will Syrax will defend me or whatever." Yeah, that was all like each of those could have been
protected.
An LFG moment when the bloodworm comes up over the rock. I'm like, "All right, let's go." And then when she breaks through, let's fucking go. I do want to say, I appreciate. I thought it was really cool. The dragons sound different. Each of the dragons kind of has
squeaky.
Their own. Yeah, they're like chirping at each other and stuff. I thought that was cool. I thought it was a little weird that the bloodworm just sort of sits there and just kind of watches Rhaenyra
circle around, doesn't do anything.
Dragons don't really like fight each other.
They do. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's coming.
But they're like they were living together for so long.
And I mean, as we see,
they're related.
Daemon and Rhaenyra have a connection too. So there's right. that whole like.
So something would have to. They would have to be commanded to.
And yeah. I also think another reason why it's a let's fucking go moment is because there was going to be a bunch of bloodshed.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She pretty much said, we good.
Stop.
We don't
it.
Need it.
Mm-hmm. She looked fucking badass in that. Very mm-hmm. similar to Daenerys, but like I like the added like scales on the shoulders mm-hmm. and stuff.
It's your new Halloween costume.
You're all about Halloween costumes.
We're getting into October.
It's late August, and he's like, he's one of those guys. A leaf fell. Get the Halloween stuff out.
Yeah, and pumpkin decorations at Kroger.
Oh God, don't get me started. All right, the Nipples on a Breastplate Award for most ridiculous costume, hair, or makeup. I would have given this to her last week, but since we didn't do the, we're just introducing the category now. I'll give it to her here. Queen Rhaenys, the queen that never was. Her fucking hairdo. I'm not saying it's bad or good, but it's unique. She's got this like beehive thing coming off the back of her head.
It's like a giant ski slope.
Yeah, like a ski slope, but there are dreads involved as well. I just, mm-hmm. and you know, a slightly older actress wearing it's just like, it reminds me of like, I don't know, spring breakers at Cancun or something.
I guess it. Thinking back on it, I did like specifically look at her hair multiple times, but just because of the
it's such the a weird shape. Of the height, yeah, it's like a know? Fucking ski slope.
It wasn't
back
even
there.
Like a cool 60s beehive. Mm. It was, yeah, yeah.
It's like she's got a hat under the hair mm-hmm. back there or something.
But I still think the king's hair is just god awful.
Yeah, that's just a candidate.
Bad costume.
It's very nappy.
It's,
at least Daemon's, it looks like it's well kept and yeah. groomed.
Yeah, Viserys.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it looks like a bad wig that you looks mm-hmm. like a wig.
That's what it is. It literally looks like Gandalf's wig from Lord of the Rings. And they didn't even bother like attaching it to his head. They just sort of plopped it down on top of
yeah.
him. I say the way that they're dressing Viserys is a little.
It's not very king-like to me.
Yeah, he's kind of frumpy, you know? It's kind of like athleisure, you know, housewear type stuff.
Well, yeah, because as a king, I would think he'd be a little bit more royal. Yeah. He looks like he's just a average Joe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to, like, Robert Baratheon, what he wore.
Yeah, I guess it's hard to compare in Game of Thrones, but a lot of the particularly Joffrey and Cersei, you know, they were always
yeah,
in these.
Fancy.
Yeah, they were always very fancy, but Viserys, but
were, yeah.
not so much.
Fancy, fancy.
Anybody else have any nipples on a breastplate for this week?
No, I don't really feel like we got that much of a change in anything. To
yeah,
see.
A lot of it was yeah. same. I did think the design on the crab feeder was cool. The little glimpses we got, very Leatherface,
yeah.
But hard to tell exactly what's going on there at this point. All right, what else? Stock up, stock down. We'll do this who you buy and who you sell them at this stage of the game if the characters wear stocks. I'll start us off. This week I'm buying Allison Hightower. Soon to be you queen? Are? Yeah, so yeah.
I'm, well, you have to buy her right now because she's about to be queen.
Yeah.
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 But I think I'm going to double down on the princess still.
You're buying Rhaenyra stock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was definitely my candidate just for what she did on the mm-hmm. bridge. It's actually kind of a come down for most of the episode after being named heir last week, but mm-hmm. after the scene on the bridge, mm-hmm. she's back.
Rhaenyra.
She's back in there.
I'm definitely selling Daemon.
Daemon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It was not the best week for.
He just kind of came off
Daemon.
A little ridiculous.
Yeah, real petulant. Real, you know.
And the reason I'm selling him this week is in week one, he came across as more of Loki vibes. You're not a dumbass. You're smart. You're mischievous. You're cunning. This guy just, he didn't,
bratty.
Little emotional, little dumb.
Dumb. Yeah. That's the thing, because Loki is not dumb.
Yeah.
And I don't think Daemon is dumb.
No.
This, he came across as dumb.
Yeah, it really did take. And mm-hmm. this was a little bit of a change from the book. Like I said, it's like two lines in the book. Mm-hmm. But in the book, Maseri actually is pregnant So it sort of changes the whole dynamic of all that. Instead of being this big kind of bluff, you know, and they follow that up and she's just like, man, we'll be pregnant someday. I mean, I wasn't really lying.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, settle down, guy.
Right. Like you could even get the plan correct where you get her pregnant first and then do everything. Like at least get at least follow through.
Well, and if you're going to bluff, follow through with the bluff. But he's just like, we're not. Like he caved so easily to it all.
Yeah, I'm selling him.
Well, my sell this week is King Viserys, man. Bad move after bad move. They don't seem like huge bad moves, but they're all like kind of little bad moves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He impulsively acted last week to name Rhaenyra just to spite Daemon. Now that's kind of backed him into a corner. All the lords are telling him you should marry Laenor Velaryon, which strategically probably should have, taking the 12-year-old part of it aside, just purely in terms of
the richest family in the realm.
The richest family in the realm. It's going to unite the wounds of the Great Council when Rhaenys was passed over and bring everybody into the big tent and everybody be happy.
Instead, you're marrying the daughter of the power-hungry asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Not to mention your daughter's best friend.
Yeah. He auto gives Littlefinger vibes for me.
Definitely has some of that.
He's a character from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, she said that. Yeah, I have little fingers.
He's a very schemey character. He's like somewhere between Tywin and Littlefinger, I think. Between not just all that is the reason I'm selling Viserys, but man, that throne is doing some damage on him.
I totally forgot about him putting his hand in the maggots.
In the maggots, yeah.
Like, it's dying, and it looks like that infection. How is such a small cut?
I don't know, man. Somebody needs to scrub that throne because every little barb on that blade.
Is someone poisoning it?
Why don't you grind it down so you can at least sit on it?
Well, I have
no one should be comfortable on the Iron Throne.
Yeah, like we said, you got to wear gloves or chainmail or something. But yeah, he's going to lose those fingers. That's not looking good. There actually is a theory in the fandom. Then this is going back years to Game of Thrones stuff. Mm-hmm. That there's a grand conspiracy by the Maesters of the Citadel to bring down the Targaryens and their dragons. And for the small sect of the fandom that loves that theory,
it's what made the Mad King mad.
Grist for the mill, yeah. And even stuff like this, like the theory goes, is they're not really trying to save them. You know, they want the dragons to die, all that kind of stuff. There's a line, I think, in the fourth Game of Thrones book, Song of Ice and Fire, where somebody at the Citadel is like, there's no place for dragons in the world that the Citadel is trying to build. No place for dragons or magic or any of that stuff. Important to note, where's the Citadel located? Old Town, the High Towers. So if the show wanted to play with those theories and stuff, it would be tied to Otto, I think. Yep. Also important to note, in every scene we've seen so far where King Viserys is being medically treated, Otto's the one there talking directly to the doctor.
Yep.
What do y'all think about that treatment for ailments? Bowl of maggots?
I think we need to bring it back.
Bring it back, you know?
Was not a great episode for us to be eating dinner.
No, we were eating dinner.
Between the crabs and the maggots and no good.
Justin was like, we will not be eating dinner while watching this again.
No. I wouldn't do that. I mean, Lolly, think back to Sam at the Citadel and the whole sequence of poop and puke and poop and puke, and then it cuts
two
in.
Two girls, one cup?
Well, almost. No, there's actually this really clever cut where they're like stab into a big blistery pustule. And then they do a cut where it cuts to a pie being cut open. But you think when you're seeing the pie cut open that you're still looking at the pustule. So definitely don't want to. Yeah, just in general, this is not don't eat. Don't eat. Nope. Don't want a snack.
Got to be done by 8:00.
All right, guys. Any final thoughts on episode 2 of Hot D?
Can't wait for next week.
It was a steamy pile of hot D.
Steaming pile of hot D. Is that a good thing or a bad thing in this context? Okay. Justin, how are you feeling 2 episodes into the Westeros journey? Have you got enough to be bought in so far?
Yeah, definitely I'm bought in. Okay. It's getting me a little bit curious about the old Game of Thrones. So should I start watching that?
Well, that's very exciting for me.
but also I'm too stubborn.
Yeah, I know.
The deal is still there.
Oh, jeez. yes, you definitely should start watching Game of Thrones. Maybe stop after season 5 or
maybe,
something.
Maybe I might watch it in secret, only talk to you about it.
There you go. Well, you could start it
That's
and just
fucking
not
rude.
Just not finish it, you know, just stop when it's still good, you know, season 5, something like that.
That's actually what I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll watch it and just talk to you about it.
Yeah.
You all right with that?
No.
It's a start. I don't know if it's good for your marriage, but it's a start. No, I don't. Your bet's in danger because one of the two fandoms in question may be back at the start of another 10-year run of dominance, and the other one's like, we can't really talk about that anymore because of the J.K. Yeah. Rowling stuff. So, so in other words, we win.
That's why I'm not reading it.
I'm just fucking with you. All right, thanks for joining us for this review of episode 2 of House of the Dragon. Follow us at Spoiler Wars Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time, stay spoilery, everybody.
Peace.
See ya.